Okay, so the Mishnah tells us on the Gimelim and Beis that when the Aron was taken, so they had the Evan Shasiya in the Kodesh HaKadashim, and that's where they would do the Hazaros instead. So this gives us an opportunity to ask, what exactly is the status of the Aron? Why don't they have an Aron in Bayasheni? And then a little bit also, what exactly is the status of the Evan Shasiya that they had when the Bayasheni was around, and also potentially the end of Bayas Rishon? So the easiest way maybe to open things up is the question that the Rashash asks right here, Al-Atar, where the Rashash says, I don't understand, why didn't they just build a new Aron? Well, according to the Rambam, they made Urim Vetumim for the Kohen Gadol. The Gemara earlier in Chaf Aleph told us that one of the five things that they didn't have in Bayasheni was Urim Vetumim. But the Rambam says that you need Urim Vetumim because otherwise the Kohen Gadol is going to be Mechaser Begadim. So they made Urim Vetumim and they didn't answer. You know, so they had Urim Vetumim, they didn't answer questions which were asked of them. The Gemara there also, the Ruach HaKodesh was gone. But just like they had Urim Vetumim, so the Kohen Gadol wasn't a Mechaser Begadim, why not have an Aron Kodesh in the Lifnai V'Lifnim so that the Hazaos could be done towards the Kapores? And even though you're not going to have Luchos inside, you're not going to have the Shechina, those things that the Gemara said weren't there in Bayasheni, you should be able to have an Aron. So the answer that he gives, and then a lot of the Achronim as well, the Mechas Chinuch, the Meshech Chachma, the Rav, Taras HaKodesh, the Mechas Avram, they're all saying this, is this yisod that there's no such thing as an Aron without Luchos. The Aron is not just a kli, it's not just a box, you know, like Urim Vetumim, you have to have those in the Choshen. Without Luchos, there is no such thing as a Chafza shel Aron. And so this then is a great way of getting us to the question about the relationship between the Aron and the Beis HaMikdash. Because if the Aron was only just one of the Klei HaMikdash, then this would be pretty surprising. Like, why does it have to have Luchos in it in order to have a Shem Aron? Does the menorah have to be lit in order to have a Shem menorah? Does the Shulchan have to have Lachem Apanim to have a Shem Shulchan? Definitely not. So what does it say about the Aron that without any Luchos, there is no Shem Aron at all? Now, on one hand, the Aron pretty dramatically does seem to be one of the Klei HaMikdash. I mean, it's the very, very, very first one mentioned in Parshas Truma, mentioned very prominently. And then Le'orech, the whole story in Sefer Shmos, when all the Kalim are mentioned in terms of their being built, in terms of their being brought into the Mishkan. So the Aron is there, together with the Menorah and the Shulchan. Doesn't seem to be any distinction, really, at all. On the other hand, you know, we know there's no avoda done with the Aron, so in that respect, the Aron is definitely different than the other Kalim. But I think Bapashas, we definitely say that the Aron is one of the Klei HaMikdash, and we'd say that, okay, so the Aron uniquely has to have Luchos, but we would think, I think, that the Aron is one of the Klei HaMikdash, despite the fact that no avoda is done with it. The Ramban, for example, the Ramban we saw in the Sefer Mitzvos, was of the opinion that all of the Kalim against the Rambam, the Rambam thought that construction of the Kalim is subsumed under the mitzvah of building the Mikdash. The Ramban disagreed. The Ramban thought that the Kalim were subsumed under the mitzvah of the respective avodos. You have to burn Ketores, and included in Ketores is having a Mizbach Hazav. You have to have Lachem Apanim, included in Lachem Apanim is having a Shulchan. So, since the Ramban subsumed the Kalim under Avoda, he was left with one Kli that had no Avoda associated with it. That was the Aron. And so therefore the Ramban said he thinks that there's a separate mitzvah to build an Aron, not counted, separately counted among the Taryag. Right. So that highlights, I guess, that there's no Avoda done with the Aron, but even the Ramban for sure thought that the Aron was one of the Klei HaMikdash. Like, how can you even imagine that that's not going to be the case? However, like it or not, we pretty clearly got the message from the Rambam in the Sharashim, in Shorash Yibes, and then again in the Sefer Mitzvos, and then again in Hilchos Beis HaBachira, that the Aron is not one of the Klei HaMikdash. it's undeniable. It's very hard to understand. We'll try to develop a suggestion soon, but it's undeniable. That's what he thinks. He talks about the Mikdash and its kalim. And definitional to having a Mikdash, he says in the base of Bechir, you have to have certain kalim along with a Mikdash. Definitional to a Shem Mikdash. It's part of the mitzvah. So there has to be menorah. There has to be a shulchan. You have to have a mizbach zav. You have to have a mizbeach for the karbanos. The mizbeach has to have a kevesh. And then you have to have a kior vekano. So those are all parts of the Mikdash itself. But you notice time and time and time again, the Rambam never includes having an Aron as one of these kalim. The Rav is aware of this. Rav Ilan is aware of this as well. The pieces they have respectively in the Igros HaGrid, the Rav's piece is in Beis HaBechira, and Rav Ilan's piece, the longer piece, is the one in Beis Yud Beis in the Taras HaKodesh. So they say, okay, it looks like the Aron is not about being one of the Klei HaMikdash. It's not about being one of the Klei HaMishkan. What the Aron is all about is having the Luchos inside. It's not there to be one of the Klei HaMikdash. It's there for the Luchos. There's a din of the Luchos. The Luchos need an Aron. Yeah, Hashem gives us Luchos. Those Luchos have to be an Aron. There has to be a Kapores on top of the Luchos. There have to be Kruvim on top of that Kapores. But this is not Midine Beis HaBechira. This is not Midine Klei HaMikdash. This is Midine the Luchos. Okay. Now, you can wrap your head around the Luchos needing an Aron, but it's still a big jump that we need to understand how to get from there to the more radical claim, which they both say pretty straight out, and it's hard to deny in the Rambam, that the Aron is not one of the Klei HaMikdash. Now, the Taras HaKodesh does have a couple of nice diukim to help boost this idea that without Luchos, you have no Aron. Now, he quotes the Mashach Chachma, who said, hey, if you look carefully at what they do in Pekudei, so all the other Kalim, the Torah tells us, they bring the Kli into the Mishkan, and then they do a Tavoda. So you bring in the menorah, and then you light the menorah. You bring in the Shulchan, and then you put in the Lechem Apanim. But the Torah is very careful to tell us that when it came to the Aron, that wasn't the case at all. Rather, first they put the Luchos in the Aron, and only after the Aron contains the Luchos do they then bring it into the Mishkan. So the Mashal Chachma argues, we see from here, that there's no Shem Aron at all without Luchos. So you're not going to bring it to the Mishkan, because without the Luchos, it's just an empty box. You know, it's worth thinking when Chazal say that Shaul HaMelech grabbed the Luchos from Goliath. So according to that Medrash, it turns out that the Plishtim just had an empty box. You know, it didn't have a Shem Aron at all. So worth thinking about what's going on with that Medrash over there. The other piece that Rabbi Lan quotes, he quotes the Balei Tosas, the Parshas Truma. I did not find this. I did not look for this, but I will trust him that it is there. And the Balei Tosas say that the Isser of Lo Yasuru Habadim Mimena, that you're not allowed to remove the Badim from the Aron, is only activated after the Luchos are put in. So again, right? Well, there's no Shem Aron without Luchos. Okay. But we still have to get, you know, to the gap from there. And a lot of this, like you see in the Aron, okay, the Aron's not about Klei HaMikdash, it's also about Luchos. But why can't it be about both? You know, you see the Ramban ala Torah, the Ramban is like all in. He's like, yeah, for sure the Aron is about the Luchos. But the whole point of the Aron, and then he says the whole point of the Mishkan is to have a place for Hashras HaShechina. So just some of the rayas and nafkaminas, I think, that come out of this view of the Rambam. So the Rav and Rabbi Lang both point this one out, I think, that the Manda Amar, that there were two Aron, right, two Aronos, one Aron for the Luchos and one Aron for the Shirvei Luchos. Now the Ramban happens to not like this view at all. And I think this is very much the Ramban, the Shitase. The Ramban thinks that the whole focus of the Aron is Hashras HaShechina. If you think the whole point of the Aron is to have a makam for Hashras HaShechina, it's very difficult to understand why you would have two different Aronos. You know, you're not going to have two different places for the Hashras HaShechina, you're only going to have one. So the Ramban in Parshas Ekev is, he dismisses this as a Das Yachid. But granted that it's a Das Yachid, what exactly is going on with this Das Yachid, right? If you say, so the Aron is really, once you say the Aron is about having a place for the Luchos to be, and it could be that the second Aron wasn't even kept in the Kodesh HaKadashim. I don't know if we have any discussion about where the other Aron was kept. right? So that is, again, accentuating this idea of the Aron is primarily about Luchos. The fact that there's no Aron in Bayasheni, right? The point that the Rashash began making, point number two. Point number three. Rav Ilan points this out. The Rambam in Parag Zayin, Hichos Beis HaBachira, so he quotes the Isser of making anything resembling the Mikdash. This is, you know, part of why the whole Machon HaMikdash people, one reason why that whole stuff is very, very controversial. Because there's an Isser against making Kalim, which resemble the Mikdash, or its Kalim. But the Braisa never mentions the Aron, and the Rambam, he mentions assorted Kalim. The Rambam, though, never mentions the Aron. Why not? So Rav Ilan says, if we think that the Aron is not one of the Klei HaMikdash, it makes sense why that would not be included in this Isser. It's kind of stunning to think about it, that like you're not allowed to make a menorah, you're not allowed to make a Mizbeach, but you could, you know, like the Indiana Jones people, they made the facsimile of the Aron, so I don't know if it was accurate or not, but there'd be no problem of making an Aron facsimile, but that's what emerges from Rav Ilan's analysis. And then the fourth major one is the other piece, Nigar Sagrid, also in the Chidushei Hagram Ve'agrid, where he points out that while the Rambam thinks that the halacha of carrying the kalim bekasef, right, on the shoulders, no longer held once they're brought into the Beis HaMikdash, the mitzvah of nesiyah bekasef for the Aron Kodesh is l'dorei doros. The Rambam counts that as one of the taryag. The Rav explained, the Griz didn't like this very much, but the Rav explained in a letter to his uncle that all other Kalim only have a Shem Kli when they are in the Makom where they are supposed to be. In general, that's the case for Klei Shares. Klei Shares are not active outside the Mikdash, and Hu Adin Nami, the menorah is only has a Shem menorah when it's where it's supposed to be. The Mizbeach only has a Shem Mizbeach in the Mikdash. So it's absurd to talk about a din nasiya bekasef. Where are you carrying the menorah? You can't carry the menorah outside the Mikdash. The minute the menorah leaves the Mikdash, it's not a menorah anymore, just like any other Klei Shares. However, the Aron, which is independent, right? This, he doesn't explicitly connect this piece to the other piece he has, but it's clear that they're related to each other. That for the Rambam, once you've divided the Aron from Mikdash, and it's obvious in Tanakh that the Aron has independent status. And the whole story of Peretz Uzzah, the whole story of the Aron in all of Sefer Shmuel, Aleph Shmuel Beis, the Aron has independent status, independent standing. It's Shem Aron is obviously not dependent on being in the Mikdash. And once we say the Aron is not one of the Klei HaMikdash, that at least is all very understandable. Okay.
What about carrying the menorah within the Mikdash?
So I was a little bit unclear, like how literally to take the Rav's point about that when he talks about like it only has a Shem menorah when it's like in its place. Because right, what are you thinking?
Well, the menorah, I mean, it's not, it doesn't have to be the exact spot, or there's the whole, as long as it's in the south.
So I don't know, and we saw there was a machlokas how exactly it was aligned, but we also know when it comes to the menorah in particular, you know, everyone talks about this Hanukkah time. That the menorah could be taken out of the heichal and lit by a zar, right? Yeah. This whole point, the hatava is psula bazar, but the halakha is not. But it's hard to imagine that you could light the menorah if the menorah didn't have a shame menorah, right? So I don't know how much to totally. I don't know how much the Rav meant, like every line of the formulation in the letter over there. I assume the basic point was that they only have a Shem menorah when they're inside the Mikdash as a whole. I don't know if he really meant it like so radically about it having to only be in the specific spot.
That's what I'm saying, but then there would be an Isra of carrying on the Kate from
one
place to another in the Mikdash.
So
as a Shem Aron anywhere in the Mikdash, then theoretically, that
Isra
should apply.
I don't know. Is that considered moving it around?
Carrying it.
Nesiyah bekasef means being moved from place to place.
That's what the Rav says about the klishare, right? If you're moving the mizrakot around the heichal,
That's not a nesiyah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's like, yeah. So I think that's what you have to say. Yeah. Now, Rav Moshe, and you're like very refreshed to read this, because Rav Moshe in his response to the Rav, and it's kind of funny if you read carefully the different way they put it. So Rav Moshe, he says, like, I love this. This is great. But you haven't answered it, because at the end of the day, why didn't the Rambam count a separate mitzvah of building an aron, like the Ramban did? So he could come to it from a different reason from the Ramban, right? The Ramban thought, okay, all kelim are about avoda, aron is not about avoda. Mela gets its own mitzvah. So the Rambam, who thinks all kelim are about mikdash, aron is not about mikdash, mela should get its own mitzvah. So why not? So in the Rav's response to Rav Moshe, they have there. So he's like, when you said that I didn't answer the Rambam legamre, like, that's not actually what Rav Moshe said. He's like, you didn't answer the Rambam. And then in the response, he's like, regarding the point that I didn't totally answer the Rambam, and he struggles, what he ends up coming onto, really holding him down, is this idea, which is already in the Megillas Esther, that the menorah, that the Aron, sorry, there's no Aron after the one built by Bezalel. Moshe Rabbeinu has an Aron, and that's the only one which is going to be built. He doesn't have anything really stronger that he can say. The Minchas Avraham quotes his father in his the Sefer on Horios, or I think the Har Ephraim, who doesn't like this Megillas Esther idea at all, because he's like, how can the Megillas Esther just make up a Havtacha, like Mechatesi, that such a thing, that the only Aron that's ever going to be there is the Aron of Bezalel and Moshe Rabbeinu. It happens to be, though, the Meshech Chachma did have that idea. We saw the Meshech Chachma on Vayas Bezalel, right, that the only kli which said the Bezalel made in the sum up was the Aron. The Meshech Chachma there did suggest that, yeah, this is exactly the point. Here's the Havtacha, here's the Torah telling us the only Aron being made is going to be the Aron of Bezalel. I don't know what is this that's left to explain for the Rambam. At the end of the day, the Rav and Rav Ilanik are the ones who are reading him really fairly, and you totally take the question of Moshe asking about the Minyan Mitzvos, and that's the best that the Rav has. It's a little surprising that Rav Ilan didn't even relate to the question. I mean, it's a pretty obvious question. But okay, that seems to be the view of the Rambam. We still feel a little uncomfortable about it, and we'll come back to this, because at the end of the day, what does the Rambam do with, like, Parshas Truma, or Vayakal Pekude, like the gaping, obvious association between the Aron and Mikdash. So, we know the Ramban totally disagrees with the Rambam. A couple of places, it's like dramatic, when in the Hakdama to Truma, when the Ramban gives his whole theory that the Mishkan is a portable Har Sinai, so he says, Iker HaChifetz B'Mishkan, HaMakam Menuchas HaShchina Shehu Aron. You know, the whole point of the Mishkan is having the Aron. Says that's why, literally, you know, the Ramban very tuned, attenuated to the Pesukim. He says that's why the Aron comes first. It's the first kli mentioned because it's the most important kli. It's the whole focus of the Mishkan. If you saw the piece in Devarim we talked about before, where the Ramban was kind of, you know, not happy at all with this whole idea of the second Aron. So he's grappling there with the pasuk that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to make an Aron shel eitz. So what exactly is this Aron shel eitz when he goes to get the Luchos? So the Ramban quotes both Deos and Chazal, that either there were two Aronos, or there was a temporary Aron until the one that Bezalel made. But the Ramban then himself says, he thinks al derech hapshat, that the Aron eitz that's being described in Devarim is the Aron itself. He says, yeah, because before the Mishkan, the very, very, very first thing the Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded was Va'asu Aronatze Shitim Ki Hi Iker HaKavana B'chol HaMishkan Lios HaShem Yoshev HaKruvim for the Shechina to be there. So that was like step one. And again, the Ramban comes back to this idea that this is the whole point of the whole Mishkan. Radically opposed to the Rambam. Now, the Ramban has seems to have a very strong raya that the Aron is one of the Klei HaMikdash, and that there is a clear association and relationship between the Aron and Mikdash from the Tosafta in Zvachim and the Yerushalmi in Megillah about the story of Bama Gedola, Bama Katana. I think I finally saw just now the Michas Avram point this out. I was like, kind of bothered, because it seemed like a pretty obvious raya for the Ramban. The Tosafta there says, the difference between Bama Katana and Bama Gedola is the presence of the Aron. So if you have a Mishkan, and there's an Aron Kodesh there, then has the status of Bama Gedola, and there's an Isser of Hakrava Babamos. But if there's none, then there isn't. So Nov and Givon, the Aron was never brought to Nov and Givon, and therefore there still was a Heter Bamos. Shiloh, the Aron was there, so there wasn't. I was a little bothered by Gilgal, because I thought the Aron was in Gilgal. But hold that, and we will come back to it in a second. The Yerushalmi in Megillah says that it takes us even more radically, and the Yerushalmi says that even if the Aron leaves the Bama Gedola temporarily, it loses the status of Bama Gedola, and the Heter Bamos comes back. So when they took the Aron out of Shiloh to go to war with the Plishtim, at that moment, even though the Mishkan Shiloh was still standing for a few days, the Heter Bamos comes roaring back. So you obviously see a clear impact that the Aron has on the status of the Mishkan. It's a Mishkan if there is an Aron. It's only a Bama Katana if there's no Aron. So how could we say that the Aron has no connection? It's just a box for the Luchos, and it happens to be the din of the Luchos is that they're supposed to be in the Kodesh HaKadashim, the way the Rav says it in the letter. You know, that's where the Luchos are supposed to be. Mela, that's where the Aron is supposed to be. But right, the Rav compared the Aron to the Tzinsenes Haman, and he compared it to the Matzah. Thank you. Right, all three of these are Eduyos. And so the Eidus has to be in the Kodesh HaKadashim, but there's no din. You know, the Kodesh HaKadashim doesn't need to have the Tzenes Amman, doesn't need to have the Mata. So too, the Kodesh HaKadashim itself doesn't need to have the Aron, is the way the Rev said in the letter, which is like a really, really, really radical way of putting it. I mean, Parshas Truma didn't tell us to have the Mun or to have the Mata. And you have this halacha right here. So it happens to be the Rev in Yartzeit Drasha goes with this Ramban, and he takes it a whole step farther. It's like the Rav in the Yartzeit Drasha is the total opposite of the Rav in the Yigros. He's talking there about it's the Kriyas HaTorah Yartzeit Drasha. So he's talking about Kiddush Rishon and Kiddush Shniyah, and he's trying to understand how exactly the Kiddush of Kibush works. Like what we shed blood somewhere, and some of that's a Makadish? Like, what does that mean? What was the Kedusha of Kibush all about? So he has a whole piece where he talks about the two roles of the Aron, Bin Sawa HaAron and Uvnucho, which he links to Kibush and Chazaka. And he says the real Makadish was not Etzem, the conquests. It was that as they were conquering territory, they brought the Aron with them everywhere they went. Yeshua goes up and down Eretz Yisrael, he says, and the Aron is with him the whole time. So I thought, okay, that would explain why we're assuming that Gilgal was only a Bama Katana, because the Aron wasn't really in Gilgal. The whole time they're fighting wars, they have the Aron with them wherever they're going. So that's the idea the Rav develops there to explain the Hakdasha of Kibush. But then the Rav continues, and he says the truth is, that's what happens. That's the Makadish of the Beis Hamikdash was bringing the Aron over there. He says the Aron is a Makadish, and then he has a line. He's like Mahu Beis Hamikdash, Mahu Beis Mikdash, Imlo Hamakom Shabo Nitan HaAron, which is like the radical opposite. Right? What is a Mikdash unless it's the place where the Aron or the Aron is? And he's with Dayak and the Psukim in Malachim. That they bring the Aron to the Beis HaMikdash, and that's the moment where you have the Hashras HaShechina. So the Aron not only is the belongs to the Mikdash, but it's the Mikadish. So this whole world is like seems radically the opposite of what he then even says. He says this for the Rambam, which is a little bit troubling, because like what about the other pieces? He's like, that's why it's so important for the Rambam to tell us in Beis HaBachir Talad Aleph that the Aron is still there. Because the way the Mikdash keeps its kedusha, even in Bayasheni, is the Aron was still there in the Geniza and the Mechilos. You know, because you're going to ask if you're one of the major rayas for the Rambam's tzad that the Aron is not fundamentally linked to the kedusha of Mikdash, is the fact that we had a whole Mikdash with no Aron. You know, like if the Ramban is really correct that the whole essence of Mikdash or of Mishkan is to have Makam Aron, what do you do when there's no Aron? So the Rav says, yeah, that's exactly why. The Ram had to tell us that there is there is an Aron. We just couldn't see it. But, you know, for like the actual Rambam, not the Yartzeit Drasha quoting the one in Beis Bechira, that's hard to say. So, to a degree, you know, it's clear that we could link this machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban to the machlokas about the essence of Mikdash. According to the Rambam, that the essence of Mikdash is a makam avoda, and there is no avoda really associated with Aron. It follows the reason the Aron is not going to be included in the Kleya Mikdash. The only kelim that are included are kelim of avoda. According to the Ramban, who thinks that the essence of the Mikdash is to have a place for Hashras HaShechina, so then exactly as he writes in Parshas Truma, not only is the Aron one of the Klei HaMikdash, it's the most important of the Klei HaMikdash, right? Like, to that degree, I think that's pretty straightforward, that's pretty obvious. The question that still remains is, like, granted the various proofs that the Rambam, we could bring for the Rambam, but at the end of the day, how does the idea make any sense? So if you see in the Minchas Avraham in his piece on this, so he basically caves. You know, he quotes the whole thing, he quotes the Rambam, he's aware. And he says, okay, well, for the Rambam, even though it's not one of the Klei HaMikdash, it's still included in the Asu Li Mikdash, because it creates the Kedusha in the Mikdash itself. Like, okay, thank you, but now what are we saying? And so first telling me it's not part of the Mikdash, it's just a din in the Luchos. Then I'm bringing you all the counter evidence, and so you're just going to cave and say, okay, it's not one of the Klei HaMikdash, it's just, you know, the thing that creates the whole Kedusha for the Mikdash itself. Like, then there is a massive relationship. Like, what are we talking about? Now, he quotes the Tosefta in Zvachem and Yerushalmi and Megillah about Bama Gedola, Bama Katana, and points definitely well taken, that definitely does seem to point to a massive Aron Mikdash relationship. But if you want to say, like the Rav wanted to say, which seemed to be what the Rambam was saying, then this is still not really so tenable. So what can we say? So in the Hashlamos, in the Miluim, so he quotes an interesting Malbim. This does not answer the question, but I think this helps open up an answer to the question. The Malbim is Medayik, and you don't even need to be Medayik, it's basically there in the Psukim, that the way the Hashras HaShechina happened in the Mikdash is different in the Pesukim than the way that it happens in Sefer Malachim. In Pekudei, so they bring the Aron, and then they bring all the Kalim, and once all the Kalim are there and the whole Mishkan is set up, so then the Torah says, Vaychasa Nana Salamawed, right? Then we have the Hashras HaShechina. Okay. In Sefer Malachim, though, that's not the way it happens. They build the Mikdash, then they bring in all the Kalim, and then in Perek Ches, they have a whole huge party bringing the Aron from the Ohel Moed, where it's been, to the Mikdash. Shlomo HaMelech is offering Karbanos the whole entire time. The Kohanim bring the Aron into the Kodesh HaKadashim. And the Navi says that after the Kohanim left the Kodesh HaKadashim, then is when we had the Anan comes, and you have Hashras HaShechina in Bayis Rishon. Okay. So, question is, why is there this difference between the way the Shechina was Sharui in the Mishkan and the way the Shechina was Shruya in the Mikdash? So he quotes the...
I'm not sure I follow the difference.
In the Mishkan, mm-hmm. First they brought in the Aron, mm-hmm. Then they bring in all the Kalim, and it is upon completion of the structure of Mishkan that the Shechina comes in. In the Mikdash, the last thing they do is bring the Aron, and it is the Aron, it is the arrival of the Aron, which is the trigger for the Hashras HaShechina. So why is the Aron the trigger for the Hashras HaShechina in the Mikdash, but not the trigger for the Hashras HaShechina in the Mishkan? That's the question the Malbim asks. He quotes the Malbim, who answers Al Derech HaKabbalah. Okay, the Taras HaKodesh himself wants to answer Al Derech HaHalacha, that maybe the Aron was needed to have a shame Mishkan, but it wasn't needed to have a shame Mikdash. They put the Aron in last. You want to show that the Aron is not Ma'akiv. You can have a Mikdash without Aron. That's going to happen in Bayis Sheni. It's like, okay, but he's not trying to answer the... He's not answering the Parshanut question. You know, the Malbim, okay, Malbim does Parshanut, Rabbi Lan does Halacha. So Rabbi Lan wants to tell us the reason why they put the Aron in last in the Mikdash was to demonstrate that while Mishkan, for some reason, needs to have Aron, without Aron, it's no Mishkan. He points out, it's called the Mishkan Ha'idus. You need the Aron Ha'idus to have the Mishkan Ha'idus. It is literally sine qua non. No Aron, no Mishkan. They brought the Aron in last to show that you could have a Mikdash without an Aron. Now, it's a bit of a weird beast from Rabbi Lan, because, like, wait a second, the whole point the Malbim was making, that the Hashras, you know, the Shechina was the trigger for the Mikdash, seems to, like, totally go against the whole point. Like, hey, the minute the Aron comes in is when the Shechina is showing on the Mikdash. And you're going to tell me that they did it in this order to, like, sideline the role of the Aron? Like, what exactly, what does that mean? So, we have to take his point, and it's well taken, but run with it a little more and understand the difference between the role of the Aron and the Mikdash and the role of the Aron and the Mishkan. I think there are two things to say. One from the Chazam Sofer, and one is a suggestion that I'll throw out with a couple of, hopefully you like it. So the Chazam Sofer, in his piece on Karbanos Zman Hazeh, so he has a line. He's like trying to figure out how we could defend and explain the differences between the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. And he's bothered, like, how do they have an Aron? How do they have a Mikdash with no Aron? Now again, for the Rambam, this is going to be one of his great proofs, because it turns out you don't need, and Aron is not connected to the Shein Mikdash. But the Chassam Sofer, he's got to explain, like, how do they do this? And so he suggests that really the reason for the for the Aron was much more central to the Mishkan, because that's where the Ribbono Shel Olam was talking to Moshe Rabbeinu. Benodati l'chashama. But there's no Benodati l'chashama after the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. So once we move on from there, and Hashem is not speaking to anybody from the Kruvim, and say for Shmuel, it kind of seems like Hashem talks to Shmuel and Avi from there. That's one of Shmuel and Avi's Moshe Rabbeinu parallels. But okay, it's not panim al panim the way it is with Moshe Rabbeinu. So he says, when there's no other Moshe Rabbeinu, so then the Aron Zam Akev, that's the suggestion he wants to make. Okay, you put it out there. I think we can, like, build a little more, though, and say that, go back to the point that the Malbim was making about the Hashras Hashchina. In the Mishkan, so the Shechina is Sharui on the Aron itself, right? Like, wherever the Aron goes, that is where the Shechina is Sharui. And everything the Ramban says is totally well taken. I mean, it's like it's open psukim again and again that the Ramban is bringing in Parshas Truma. It's clear that the Shechina is on the Kruvim and the Luchos and the portable Har Sinai. You can't deny it. But what happens, though, when the Aron is brought into the Mikdash? I think the reason why the Aron is the trigger for the Hashras Hashchina is what's happening in Malachim. The Shechina has been on the Aron since Har Sinai. So it would be absurd for the Aron for the Shechina to come to the Mikdash after the Aron gets there. The Shechina is on the Aron right now. They bring the Aron, which has been the place for the Hashras Hashchina since Har Sinai, they bring the Aron to the Mikdash, and now what's the great, tremendous transition that's happening? We transition from the portable Mishkan, the portable Har Sinai, the focus of which is the Aron, to the Beis HaBechira. And now the Aron may be, you put the Aron in the Kodesh HaKadashim, but the real Makom Hashras HaShechina from now on, the massive, massive transition we're making, is that it's the Bayis Lashem. It's the whole point of the Beis HaBechira. That would explain why, yeah, in Achanami, during the time of the Bamos, you remove the Aron from the Bama Gedola, it loses its status as a Bama Gedola, because the Shechina is not Sharui in Shiloh. The Shechina is not choosing the Makom of Nov or Gilgal or Givon. It's choosing the Aron. Where the Aron goes, that's where the Shechina goes. But that's the massive transition that happens, L'dore Doros. That's the transition of Beis HaBechira. A Beis HaBechira, you don't need an Aron anymore for the Shechina to be Shruya there. Right? It was Dafka the Rambam in Perek Vav of Beis HaBechira who says that even though the Kedusha Rishona was Batla, the Kedushas HaMikdash stays forever. Why, says the Rambam? Because when you have a Kedusha of Hashras HaShechina on a Makom, that Kedusha never goes away. Now, there's no remaining Kedusha to Har Sinai. There's no remaining Kedusha to Nov or Gilgal or Givon or Shiloh. The only place that has that Kedusha where the Shechinah was Sharui on a Makom is the Beis HaBachira, is Yerushalayim. And so I think the Rambam is not going to be bothered by any of the Rayas that the Ramban is going to bring from Parshas Truma or Parshas Pekudei or anything that happens before they bring the Aron into the Mikdash. Because the game totally changes. And in Mikdash, yeah, the Aron now is, okay, maybe the Shechina is on the remains above the Kaporis, although no, that wasn't always the case. But in Achanami, Ladore Doros, the real purpose for the Aron is to be just the place that houses the Luchos, right? That's really what Shlomo Melech emphasizes in Perek Ches. He says, Asim Shem Lamakom Aron. I made a place for the Aron, Asher Shem Bris Hashem, Asher Karas Asavosinu. He emphasizes, I didn't make a place for Hashras Hashchina in here. I made it, the Aron belongs in here because now the Aron has the Mesorah, has the Luchos. That belongs in the Kodesh HaKadashim, but Hashem's place from now on really is the Kodesh HaKadashim itself. When the Gemara then talks about the five things that were missing in Bayis Sheni, Aron, Kapores, Kruvim, and Shechina, so the Rambam is going to say, in Achanami, you do have a Shem Mikdash without any of these things. That is the difference between Beis HaBachira and Mishka. Okay, so that's just...
Is it one of the five things Shechina?
Yes.
That's interesting. Meaning, it's weird to think of a Beit HaMikdash without the Shechina if the Beit HaMikdash is defined as the Makom Shechina.
So, I mean, even... So that goes back to the Rambam-Ramban point, right? Like, what is the essence of Mikdash? So the Rambam is not going to sweat that at all, because he's going to say the real, real point of Mikdash is Karbanos. Right. Now, the Rambam was also going to agree that it still has the Kedushas Makom, even if the Shechina is not there. You have to ask, what does that Gemara mean exactly, though?
Right.
We know that there was no Hiskalus the way there was in Pekudei and the way there was in Melachim Aleph. Right? There was no open Anan. On the other hand, we do seem to have like a number of Gemaras where Kohanim Gedolim are seeing things in the Kodesh HaKadashim. So I don't know, how far and how literally to take that Gemara. Like, was there nothing at all? Definitely was some notable change, which the Rambam will be much more at home with. And the Ramban, I imagine, is going to have to say in Achanami, the Kedusha of the Bayis Sheni really was much reduced. But I don't know if he's going to think that it means that there was, like, nothing at all. Yeah. Okay. So I just want. Oh yeah, we are totally good. Okay, so I just wanted to a couple other Haros. One piece to talk about the Makom Aharon, right? Like, okay, so what are we left with, nowadays, or at least in Bayis Sheni? So if you saw the Meshech Chachma in his piece on the Haftor and Pekudei, so he was medayik from that line of Shlomo Melech that I made a Makom. So he thinks that the Makom Aharon has more Kedusha, right? That even from the original construction of the Mikdash, just like Shlomo Melech builds a secret tunnel for the Aharon, so too he gives more Kedusha to the Eben Chasiya, right? That was the suggestion that the Meshech Chachma made. Rav Chaim, in the stencil, so he has a... I found a difficult piece. I don't know if you guys saw it. Do you guys see the piece in Rav Chaim?
Yeah.
What do you think of it? Or he's quoting like Gemara Menachos.
Yeah, the one
I'm
trying
about. Yeah. All right, so Gemara Menachos says that Gemara is a Havamina. Great Havamina. I should put this in the... Yeah. That when you have no Aron, you wouldn't do the Hazos for the Kaporis. Which is fascinating.
So we didn't see that piece.
Okay. All right, so the
Gemara...
I don't know. I'm not going to editorialize. But the Gemara says, V'chiper Makom HaMakudosh L'Kadosh. Right, so V'chiper B'Kodesh, the Torah says. So V'chiper B'Kodesh, Gemara Darshins, is your mazeh B'Kodesh, which is the Makom of the Kodesh, even if there's no actual Aron. Okay, that's the Gemara on Chav Zayin, deriving that we're mazeh even without an Aron. So So Rav Chaim says that this needs to be Laman da Amar Kedusha Rishona Kitchela Shaita V'Kitchela Sed Lava, because that Kedusha was gone after Bias Rishon. So I didn't understand this at all, because I thought for the Rambam in particular, you could say that just like there's Kedushas Mikdash in the whole Mikdash, and that remains, so too the Evan Shasiya, the actual Makom HaShas HaShechina, retains that enhanced level of Kedusha. I didn't understand why on earth Rav Chaim thought you had to say this, L'man Damar Kedusha Rishonu Kedusha Shaita Kedusha Aslevo. So I was happy at least, because Mechas Avram said the same thing. Mechas Avram invoked this Rambam. Yeah, you want to know where, and like it seems like the mashmaus you get is that there is some special kedusha to the Evan Shasiya, and that comes from having been the place of the Makom Aaron. The Mechas Avram has an interesting second piece on this, which ties into the Rabbi Yashiv note, which is like the other main har I wanted to get out of the sugya. The Taras Kohanim, so Edarshin's not from Vachiper Bakodesh, but it darshins from Bizos Yeva Aaron al Kodesh. Lasos Kodesh, Shein Ba Aaron Bechule, right? That the Aaron, when he comes in, so this is the whole procedure when he comes into the Kodesh. And it doesn't matter if the Aaron is there or not, as long as it has the Kedusha of Kodesh HaKadashim. So the Mechas Avram quotes Rav Huttner, actually. Rav Huttner wrote Ha'aros on Taras Kohanim. So Rav Huttner asks, why do we need two drashos? Why do we need the Gemara's drasha from Vachifer Bakodesh and the Taras Kohanim's drasha from Bezos Yavar Aron al Kodesh? And the Rav Huttner suggests, I think it's actually pretty exciting, that there are two different havminas that we need to dispel, or there are two different dinim we need to entrench into Bayis Sheni. One is that the Kodesh HaKadashim retains its Kedushas HaMakom Mitzad Biyarei Kanes. Bezos Yavar Aron, you want to know if the Isser of Biyarei Kanes into the Kodesh HaKadashim will remain in full force without an Aron? So yeah, that is what we get from Bezos Yavo Aron. Then you want to know about the Hazos, the Vechiper. Do we have Hazos without an Aron? And there the answer again is yes, Vechiper Bakodesh. Even if there is no Aron itself, you still do those Hazos. But those are two different pieces that we need to know about Kodesh HaKadashim. One is the Yisr of Biyarei Kanes, and the other is the eligibility for doing the Hazos Lefnai V'Lefnim. Now, this ties into the Ha'ara that Rabbi Yashiv had here, which I think is very good, because it helps like put a bit of a capstone for us on an important point about the Avodah Yom Kippurim in general. Where? Let me just... Bam. Yeah, right. So Rabbi Yashiv asked a very reasonable question. The Mishnayos have been talking about the Torahs for a little while, and then all of a sudden, we come in now to Nun Gimel Beis, and we start talking about the Evan Shasiya. And the Evan Shasiya is where he put the dam. That's not true. Aleh Hayanosin, that's where he put the Ketores. So what's his question? Right, his question was, as I recall, why did the Mishnah only talk about the Evan Shasiya in the context of the Hazos? It should have talked about it in the context of the Ketores. So that's sort of true. I guess it should have been earlier in the Mishnah than Beis Mabez. I don't know. Okay. Gotta look back to think about what exactly his diak was in the Mishnah and how it holds up. But the suggestion that he made was you'd have a much more viable Havamina that without an Aron you should skip the Hazos than a Havamina that without the Aron you should skip the Ketores. Why? Because the point of the Ketores, you don't put the Ketores You know, the Torah never told us about the Ketores that it should be Al HaKapores. It said Lifnei Hashem. We saw your quote in the Joshua from the Grizz, who said, oh, Lifnei Hashem, that means Ben Abadim. That's the view of the Rambam. But the Psukim never established a clear connection between the Ketores and the Cheftza Shel Aron itself. That was only done for the Hazos. So it is specifically regarding the Hazos, Rabbi Yashav argued, that we needed to emphasize that the Evan Shasiya retains, you know, the Makam Aaron Ka Aaron Dami, and you'll do the Hazos there as well. And he quoted the, he didn't quote the Torah Skonim, but he quoted the Gemara Menachos, right? The Gemara Menachos never had a Havamina that you would skip the Ketores in Bayashini. The Gemara Menachos only had a Havamina that you would skip the Hazos in Bayashini. And that was because it is specifically the Hazos, which are linked to the Aron, and so that's where the Torah needs to double the Gemara there needs to double down and tell us that the Makam Aron is a stand-in for the Aron itself. I think this is just helpful, though, both Rabbi Yashiv's point about the Hazos versus the Ketores, and Rav Funder's point about the Bia Reikanis versus the Hazos, that there really are two different roles that are being played in what the Kohen Gadol is doing with Lifnei Lifnim, right? When he goes with Ketores, so the focus is, as Yair talked about last week, on the Amida Lifnei Hashem. I mean, the Rav thought that there wasn't even, the focus wasn't even on the Maisa Avoda per se, right? The Maisa Avoda was like a Hechi Timsi for the Kohen Gadol to stand Lifnei Hashchina. There's no, in that, the Aron itself doesn't really play a significant role. It's just the Kohen Gadol and the Shechina. By the Hazos, though, so the Hazos there is a Mechaper. Parshi is a Mechaper for Klal Yisrael. Also in the Psukim, as a Mechaper for the Mikdash itself. Right, in the Psukim, it sounds like the Dam is a Mechaper for Tumas Mikdash Vekadashev. The Mikdash itself needs Kapara. That's why you're putting Dam on or towards the Aron, and then the Paroches, and then the Mizbach Hazav. So when you're engaged in a Maisa Mechaper, especially if it's for the Mikdash itself, so there really would follow to reason. I would have a very strong Havamina. How could I bring the Dam Lifnei Lifnim to be Mazat to be Mechaper for the Kodesh HaKadashim without the Kli where that Kapara is supposed to go towards? And then we say, no, the Makam Aaron Ka Aaron Dami, right? The Evan Shasiya also has that special Kedusha. But that's a Havamina which is particularly more pressing when it comes to the Hazos, where the focus is on the Aron, rather than by the Ketores, where the focus isn't on the Aron itself. It's all about the Kohen Gadol being Lifnei Hashem. I just thought that was an important thing to put those together. Last point, because we do have comments. Ooh, yeah, we do. So I just thought this is just a nice side piece. But where the Gemara here talks about the Kruvim being Urim, Zebazah, right? So the and that when Reish Lakish, who says on Nandala Mabez, that when the Babylonians came into the Mikdash, and so they saw the Kruvim, right, and so they made fun of us, right? And Gemara says that's the pasuk in Eichel Kol Mechabdeach Hizilua Kiro Arvasa, right? They said, look, the Kol Yisrael that Yasku Bitzvarim Halalu. You know, they're the Kruvim, and they're place. The Fnai Lifnim are engaged in a relationship like that, you know? And we always made fun of the Gayim, because their Avodah Zarah was where they had all the Gilei Arayos and their Avodah Zarah. So they say, look, you know, Chas Shalom, you guys do the same thing. So, okay. So, right, the Rimagash, Vedim of Abbasra, asks the question, because the Gemara there says, famously, that the Kruvim only face each other when we're good. Right? That's a very, very powerful idea. When we're together with Hashem, so the Kruvim face each other, but when we're not, so the Kruvim turn away. So what's going on over here? That the Kruvim are towards each other in the moment of Korban. So the Ritva here, well, no, the Ritva there, one second, let me know. Yeah, the Ritva there, right? So his answer was, we're talking about the walls. We're talking about the Kruvim that were engraved on the walls of the Kodesh. We're not talking about, and they shaved those off, and we're not talking about the Kruvim and the of Moshe Rabbeinu at all. Okay. But the answer of the Rimagash, and Rimagash gave two answers. The Ritva here gives one of them. The Ritva here says, it was a nes to show our Erva. You know, usually the Kruvim are only together when we're good, There, it was a bad nes, the Ritva says here. It was a bad nes to embarrass us. The Rima Gash puts like a happy spin on it. I don't know, we use this for sparks in the straits, whatever we call it this year. Right, but the Rima Gash says, no, it could be it was an ace to show our Arava, or it could be it was an ace to show our Chiba. You know, the Goyim got the wrong message, but it's like this tragic moment where, you know, the moment of Chorban, so the Kruvim are like hugging each other to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu still loves us, and, you know, the Goyim take that and run with it in the wrong direction. But that's a suggestion that the Rima Gash makes. I saw this quoted by me. I don't know where I wrote this from, but I guess when we learned this years ago, I wrote on Simon Gemara. Apparently, Adaret has a very simple suggestion. The Adaret says, yeah, I'll tell you why the Goyim saw the Kruvim together. Because in Echanami, they were looking away from each other, but then the Chorban is a Machaper. So as soon as we have the Kapar of the Chorban, Kadosh Baruch Hu takes out his anger on sticks and stones instead of on us, so immediately the Chiba is restored. Like, instantly. So they open the Kodesh HaKadashim, and they see that once again, the Kruvim are back together. So I just thought this was a very cool idea, and I want to share that, and so that is all.